Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Portland City Council Chambers. This is Wednesday, August 31st, 2011, 9:30 a.m. We're in morning session. A quorum is present, I believe, but we will have our fantastic council clerk call the roll to double check.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish? Adams?
Here. A quorum is indeed present, so we will begin with communications. We have four people signed up. Carla, can you please read item 9-11?
Request of Shedrick J. Wilkins to address council regarding federal Pell grants.
Mr. Wilkins. All right. Would you please read the title for communications 9-12?
Request of David Sale to address council regarding safety at TriMet.
Mr. Sale, please come forward. Welcome. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, no address, no phone number, and that clock in front of you will help you count down 3 minutes.
I appreciate that. 3 minutes is really short amount of time to discuss the issues at hand. And my name's David Sale from Vancouver, Washington. April 24, 2010, my daughter was hit by a TriMet bus in a crosswalk on a green light in the intersection. She was in a crosswalk on a green light to be seen, meant to be seen, as we all teach our children. Sandy Day was driving the TriMet bus that struck and killed her, as well as killed Janae Hamill and injured 3 others. She took a illegal left-hand turn from a right-hand curb lane, crossing 2 lanes of traffic, one way onto a Broadway, struck 5 people in the crosswalk in the middle of the street on a green light. She proceeded to drag him 60 feet down the road, stopped the bus, proceed to put the bus in reverse, run them over again, put the bus in forward position, and run them over again. At that point, she stopped the bus, turned it off, and the bus kneeled on top of my daughter, who was stuck in the wheel well of the right-hand side of the bus. The bus, when it kneeled, we don't know if that is what killed her or what actually of those injuries had killed her. Janae Hamill was stuck under the left rear wheel of the bus at that time with her brother and sister-in-law witnessing the incident after they'd been struck and knocked aside. They watched her back up and drive over the top of their sister. I understand that's graphic, and I understand that it's more graphic that they had to see that, the 32 witnesses that saw it, the City of Portland Police Department see it, and the fire department see it. We don't know what of those incidents killed my daughter. We do know that there was a picture of her under that bus on a backboard with a neck brace and an IV stent in her arm. And I talked to Governor Kitzhaber, who was an EMT in his past life, and he's not sure exactly how that could have affected the incident at all, but he does know that when they come upon a scene of an accident, if the person is dead, they don't do what they did to my daughter. They typically will cover her up and proceed with whatever's next. And again, I apologize for the details, but it's something that to get you in tune with where I've been living for the last year and a half, as well as my family members and the other families affected by this incident. I proceeded to have a meeting with the governor to discuss the matters at hand, because Sandy Day, 10 days after she was convicted of 6 counts of careless driving, went to the state of Oregon, moved to the state of Oregon, technically, and received another CDL driver's license. Under federal guidelines, if you have one count of careless driving, you lose your ability to drive with a CDL for 1 year. She has six counts. Those violations, which to me, I'm not an attorney, don't really care to be, but those counts would say that she does not deserve to be driving with a CDL in the state of Oregon, Washington, or any state. The federal guidelines also stipulate that if the state disregards the regulations set forth by our federal government, that state will lose all funding for transportation, grant money for federal transportation of any sort. Your district, your prosecuting attorney's office sent the DMV a letter. The DMV replied that they will not follow federal guidelines. They are not there to enforce federal guidelines, but they will enforce Oregon state law. Oregon state law states that she deserves to have a CDL. I disagree, and I'm sure you do as well. You look into the case further, you'll find the same thing. In rebuttal, my attorneys wrote the DMV a letter stating the federal regulations. They again wrote us back saying they will not enforce federal regulation. They will only enforce Oregon state statutes. Sam Adams, I met Sam Adams for the first time months ago, and his first reply to me was, "What do you want me to do about it?" After I met him the second time, he figured out what he could do about it. Graciously, he came forward and appointed me yesterday to a pedestrian safety council that he's establishing or has established, which is very appreciated, Sam. He's also appointed a couple more of my constituents to the same committee. Not to disregard the respect that I have for you for that, but I'm not so sure how a pedestrian would be responsible for a bus hitting them in an intersection in a crosswalk on a crossing green light. I don't know how I would be able to help them in the sense of giving pedestrians more awareness. I don't know how much more we can give them. I don't know how much more we can educate people crossing in an intersection on a crosswalk in a green light. People are there meant to be seen, period. That's what we teach, that's what I taught, and it didn't work. I apologize, I did not teach my daughter to look behind her as she was walking across the street in a crosswalk on a green light. That was not what I was taught.
Mr. Sales.
I would also like to say that I've had numerous people contact me in regards to TriMet buses continuing to run red lights. It's a problem, and it's constant. Yesterday, after my meeting with Mr. Adams, one of my constituents observed 14 buses at the corner of 5th and Burnside run red lights. I observed myself over 11 buses at the corner of 92nd and Foster run red lights in the matter of an hour. Yesterday, it was in a matter of an hour and 7 minutes during rush hour traffic between the hours of 3 and 5. This is unacceptable behavior. We need to move forward at changing the culture of bus operation in this town. We've done a fabulous job at CTRAN in Vancouver, and I'm sure a lot of the things that they will learn, they are more than willing to share with TriMet. I understand you have no control over TriMet, but I also know you have control over public safety, Mr. Leonard, and I understand that the rest of you have influence on this. I don't know how long Sam is going to be in office, but this is something that will have to go on long after Mr. Adams is gone or his predecessor is in place, and they are gone. So please do not disregard this. One thing I will say is I will not, under any circumstance, allow my daughter to be used as a statistic. Thank you.
Mr. Sales, before you go, I want to thank you for responding to the tragedy and the horror of your loss and the loss of other families in the crash that you describe, and turning that into positive, assertive as you should be, request for change and improvements. And so the Pedestrian Advisory Committee is, answerable. TriMet is answerable to the Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And I'm really glad that you're going to be on it, so that, and the two other folks that I appointed, so that this can become a priority to get on top of and to solve. And I really appreciate all your efforts. And I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, could you please read the title for communications, item number 913?
Request of Gabrielle Peterson to address council regarding installation and permit process for cell tower at Northeast 31st and Prescott.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for your time today. I would like to address the ongoing issue of the proposed cell tower installation at Northeast 31st and Prescott. I'm here to represent many voices in our neighborhood. Living in an old historic neighborhood of Portland, we appreciate the thoughtfulness of the city planning process and are proud that our local government has been a recognized role model. However, we are surprised and disappointed by the lack of transparency in the current process for cell tower placement and construction. As our neighbor eloquently pointed out in last week's remarks, Portland is the city that works. We are asking you as a city council to take the higher path in regards to this issue. Please help us put a moratorium on this project until the city can create a comprehensive plan for cell tower installations. The city has already started the process by establishing the priority system for new installation. Please support the Office of Cable Communication and Franchise in enforcing the set criteria that they established and allow them to have the power to say no. Please let our neighborhood be the last neighborhood that gets caught by a surprise with cell tower construction. Let's move forward in a purposeful and transparent manner and find a solution that works for everyone and sets an example for other cities to follow. I submitted some photos so you can see where the construction is occurring. I'd like you to see that this is my bedroom right here. It's less than 100 feet where this construction is. Please don't allow this to happen in our neighborhoods.
This is on private property, then.
This is on private. This is his side yard. So it's going to affect everybody, and it's in a very highly visible area. So please, please, work with us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I appreciate the photo.
Thanks.
Can you please read the title for item number 914?
Request of Stephen Backer to address council regarding cell tower in residential neighborhood with no public notice.
Didn't you ask? Mr. Backer? Hi.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Steve Backer. Mayor, city council members, colleagues, I'm grateful for the opportunity to participate in Portland's legacy as the city that works. First, I'd like to thank you for helping to create the most livable, quirky, and forward-thinking city. I'm proud to be a resident of Portlandia. I moved to Portland 5 years ago from Boca Raton, Florida. Think giant SUVs, I rarely saw bikers, and very few people bothered with recycling a responsibility to preserve the environment. Neighbors barely had any interaction with each other. Quite the opposite of what I see daily in Portland. Bikers? I see a few. Recycling and the environmental concerns? Check. Neighborhood involvement? You bet. Portlanders love their neighborhoods and our pride is reflected daily. I am no exception. I do, however, have a major problem with the city not taking a more active role in helping wireless companies and neighborhood citizens develop a master plan for cell tower sightings. I applaud Portland for the initial ordinances passed, but residents and the cell industry now need your help in taking the next step. Undoubtedly, you've heard from many like-minded residents about their concern with this issue, and I assure you, you will hear from many, many more, as this is a major issue that is not going away. East Moreland, the Fremont Corridor, Mount Tabor, Beaumont Wilshire, Alameda neighborhoods have spoken. 31st and Prescott is just the latest one. Please listen. Most of us are not anti-cell tower activists, but reasonable, responsible residents that expect a well-thought-out and updated strategy to guide the cell tower siting process. We like our phones. We want good service, but if we don't sit down together and thoroughly develop an appropriate growth strategy, we will regret it, to be sure. I'm also sure that by not addressing this issue, the city is leading itself directly into more and more litigation. Seize this opportunity of neighborhood involvement and outreach. You have engineers, business leaders, legal counsel, PR directors, and countless hipsters at your disposal. Use us. We want to preserve our city and help business grow to grow city revenues. Cell companies want to grow here without all the drama and the negative PR that is inevitable with the current development and siting process. Continue the forward-thinking movement. Let's be proactive and not reactive on this one. In front of you is the city ordinance for Boca Raton. I've also included one for Eureka, California. Boca, with its gas-guzzling, non-eco-minded, uninvolved residents, has a stronger ordinance with regard to cell tower sightings than we do. Something's wrong with that scenario. I refer you to page 15, section 6, where it actually refers to their residential neighborhood sightings. Please take this opportunity to stop the tower at 31st and Prescott with a moratorium and demonstrate our city's cutting-edge planning. We need an updated plan. Thank you.
Mayor, could I ask a clarifying question?
Sure.
This is the same as the photograph that Ms. Peterson...
Correct.
So is it on a lot or is it in the right-of-way?
It's in the right-of-way, and the electrical installation that's going to power the cell tower is on the private residence right there, right next to the right-of-way, right next to the tower.
I see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Because Oregon zoning laws are different from the other states that you mentioned, and so it's our freedom of expression laws. So there's some technical difficulties, especially with the way that the Portland City Code is set up, with the zoning code doesn't apply to the right-of-way.
I understand that, but I also understand that this is a very proactive commission here that can actually hopefully take measures within city guidelines and working with the business community to develop new or change potential.
And certainly now Commissioner Saltzman is in charge of both development services and cable communications and franchise management. Yeah. There is that opportunity. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
But wouldn't we regulate the power plant if we can't? Apparently
it's grandfathered under a conditional use permit that has expired but is still valid for a number of months. Unspecified time. They started building on an expired permit on the right-of-way, and so we have a temporary stop work order in place right now. But it's just a matter of time. They also didn't involve the neighborhood at all.
Well, just so that you don't leave without a response, a little further response, we keep being told that we've pushed as far as we can legally, mm-hmm. And that because of different, as Commissioner Fritz talked about, sort of different state or local regulations, that we are limited. But this is the first time that someone has actually given me example. Maybe you've given them and I haven't read them, given me examples of other codes, so I find that very helpful. And we'll follow up and give you a specific response, and hopefully, as you say, try to take yet again another can-do look at it. Mm-hmm. It's always good to keep looking at it.
Thank you. Yep. And I'm sure the cell companies would appreciate this. They want to be able to build here, and we want to help them build and get good service without all the drama.
So, thank you, sir.
Thank you both.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, Kimberly's going to be passing out some firefighters.
Yeah, you just give them to the council clerk. All right, that gets us to the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? Hearing none, Carla, can you please call the vote on the consent agenda?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. That gets us to, we have... regular agenda, no time certains. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, Planning and Zoning Code Amendment, item number 925?
amend planning and zoning code to bring solar energy system regulations into conformance with state law and to allow some rooftop mechanical equipment with land use review.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you?
Good, welcome back. What are we looking at here?
I'm Jessica Richmond, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I'm presenting the recommendation from the Planning and Sustainability Commission. This project has two components, one related to solar energy systems and one related to rooftop mechanical equipment. On the solar energy systems, you may recall that in March 2010, you adopted the Regulatory Code Amendments Package 5, or RECAP 5, and it included a green bundle, which included a number of regulations for solar energy systems. Beginning in July of last year, there was increasing concern among some property owners, particularly in conservation districts, that they would not be able to meet the standards for rooftop solar panels, would have to go through historic design review, and that would make their installations so expensive that they wouldn't be able to participate in the neighborhood buying programs that were currently underway. As a result of those concerns, many of you received calls, and they also approached the legislature, which adopted a bill a few months ago which preempts our regulations. So the first part of this project is to bring the city into compliance with the new state legislation. It affects the placement of solar energy systems on rooftops in conservation districts and design overlay zones, and just limits the standards that we can apply. That basically they can't increase the footprint, they can't increase the height at the peak, and the panels have to be parallel to the plane of the roof. The second element is related to rooftop mechanical equipment. When we told the Bureau of Development Services that we were taking this project through, they asked if we could also address another 17 issues in the zoning code, and we talked them down to one. They are doing a number of design reviews and historic design reviews on rooftop mechanical equipment that's added to buildings after they're built. They think that it's about 10 to 15% of the applications that they receive right now. Current code says that if a building is at least 45 feet high and the mechanical equipment is set back from the roof edges, it's exempt from going through the land use review. The amendments recommended by the Planning and Sustainability Commission extend that exemption to buildings of all heights and add some additional standards. In addition to the setback, they require that the equipment be painted either a matte color or to match the rooftop, and also limits the number of items on the roof to 8. That will give an incentive to owners to remove obsolete equipment. The staff in the Bureau of Development Services who do the design and historic design reviews are confident that with those standards in place, that the equipment will not be visible from the street, and from above it will be much less obtrusive. And they worked with us very closely on those amendments. We also did brief the Design Commission and Historic Landmarks Commission on these amendments, and they had no comments. And the Planning and Sustainability Commission recommends that you adopt the amendments that are in Attachment A and Attachment B and adopt the ordinance. Thank you.
Discussion from council? All right. Anyone wish to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Can you please call the vote?
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the work of the Planning and Sustainability Commission and staff as well. I think this reflects, and I also want to thank, I guess he's now former State Representative Ben Cannon for his dealing with these issues in the legislature last session and coming up with the legislation that passed and that we're now complying with. I think it's always a balancing act between preserving, in this case, properties in conservation districts and overlay zones, but also continuing to really push forward on making solar energy more of a reality and more common throughout the city. So thanks to all. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank you for your work and the work of the entire team. I think the best comment I ever had in support of this was that they were very supportive of the conservation districts and preservation, but if everything was to stay the same, then in a lot of houses across the city we would still have outhouses, and I would prefer this. Aye.
Thank you.
Can you please read the title for her non-emergency ordinance, item number 926?
Implement selected provisions of resolution number 36856, adopted by City Council April 20, 2011, by authorizing an intergovernmental agreement with TriMet to analyze specified fiscal and construction impacts of the proposed Lake Oswego to Portland transit project.
So no one on the City Council has signed off on this project yet, and I think wisely so, Paul, come up, because we don't have enough information in front of us to make an informed decision. This has been on the list for consideration for, I think, almost 20 years. So we are working our way through making an informed decision about whether this is an opportunity that we should take and want to take. On April 20th, we approved Resolution 36856 that called for this exact kind of technical analysis prior to council consideration of preliminary engineering, which would be the next step. So this is an IGA. I have two small amendments. One is to insert in the actual headline authorizing an IGA with TriMet. We failed to put in the words authorizing an IGA agreement. And then Scribner's error in the second section one, number two, it should say instead of part if, it should say prior to preliminary engineering.
Second.
Been moved and second to accept the amendments. Discussion. Carla, would you please call the roll on the motion to amend?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Any questions? This is extremely straightforward, but we have certified smart people here to answer any questions anyone might have. I would like to take the pulse of council. We can definitely live with a non-emergency, but we can live better with an emergency to get this going. And if there are no objections, I would like to move to apply the emergency clause.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to apply the emergency clause.
We have language for that?
We do, right here. Is there a second? Oh, it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. We are in.
I guess I had one question.
Yep.
We still haven't voted yet, right? On the final. So,
correct.
This information that we requested when we had our last hearing is when do we expect to get those answers?
Right. January 2012 is the target for a report. Based on all the work that would be performed under this intergovernmental agreement.
All right. Does anyone wish to testify on the amended ordinance?
No one signed up.
If you'd like to, sir, please come forward. Welcome back to the City Council.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Vern Reifer. I'm here speaking on behalf of the South Portland Neighborhood Associations, the Business Associations, and the Condo Associations. Since there's only one person testifying, I just wanted to encourage you to continue with this work. that, as you know, there's been lots of discussions and controversy about further south in Portland, but within the Portland neighborhoods, we have absolutely unanimous consent to the business condominiums and neighborhood associations to try to explore and move this forward and to get the redevelopment in John's Landing in South Portland that this calls for. And so I'd like to ask you to continue to support. So this is, we've, as the mayor said, we've been working on this for whatever time, and what's interesting is that the neighbors have held together in that time and have become more consistent in trying to improve those neighborhoods south of the South Waterfront. And so we ask that you approve this motion today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. Carla, would you please call the vote on the amended motion ordinance, which is now an emergency ordinance.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Oh, thank you, Paul Smith and Catherine Charlo, for briefing my staff and also for the inclusion of the public involvement statement. It states that further public involvement is anticipated through the scope of this intergovernmental agreement with property owners and the public. It's not entirely clear what that means, and I do anticipate that there'll be due public involvement, as the transportation staff usually does. I continue to have concerns about this project. I think it's unlikely that this construction impact analysis is going to change my mind, but I want to have it done so that we can all make the decision based on the facts. And so that's why I'm voting aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved or in recess until 2 p.m.
Yeah, you and I have to come out. I appreciate it.